for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, September the 1st, 2011. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service teaching on Hidden Place.
Kyle Neese is a pastor of Grace Mission. He's the founder of Grace Mission Ministries, is the pastor of Grace Life Fellowship in Lindale, Texas. And we are so, so thrilled to have you here.
I wanted to share a song really for the reason, you know, as we were singing, my heart was just, I was just encouraged and blessed that we're in God's presence. I appreciate the heart and spirit with which you shared that and what I sense here. Because I thought, you know, as we're speaking, I thought, you know, I really have nothing to share with you. I got, you know, as we're singing and worshiping, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm feeling so small. What? Who am I that I could speak anything to you except Jesus and except the power of His presence shows up, except the work and the witness of His Holy Spirit's here? Now we got something. And so as we're singing, you know, we're experiencing the presence of God. And I just wanted to share a song just because only to say let's continue. Just with us in the Spirit of God and continue asking for His presence, because it's important for me with what I have on my heart to share. I have some specific things on my heart to share with you that I believe are from the Lord. I think they're foundational kinds of things that need to be said, possibly to start things off tonight. Bless you, Lord. I stand amazed in the presence, in awe of your love, Lord, for me. Your love is full like the ocean, higher than mountains can be. Your love is powerful motion, like rivers that run to the sea. Your love is like a mystery, Lord, but oh, how it touches me. It's your love, Jesus, it's your sweet love. Jesus, it's your sweet love that's carrying me. We just bless you, Lord. Yeah, it's your love. Jesus, it's your sweet love. Jesus, it's your sweet love that's rescuing me. Your love is high as the heavens. It reaches the valley below. Your love comes in like a fountain, Lord. It makes the weary one know that your love is powerful motion. The river that runs to the sea, rushing within my heart once again. Touches me, and it's your love, Jesus, it's your sweet love, Jesus, it's your sweet love that's carrying me. Sing that with me. Jesus, it's your love, Jesus, it's your sweet love, Jesus, it's your carrying me, Lord Jesus.
it's your love. Jesus, it's your sweet love. Jesus, it's your sweet love that's carrying me. Now I stand amazed in your presence, all of your love, Lord, for me. Your love is full like the oceans, Lord, and higher than mountains can be. And it's your love, Jesus, it's your sweet love. Jesus, it's your sweet love that's carrying me.
Lord Jesus, Lord, tonight we bless you for your love, Lord. Communicate that love to our heart, Lord. We confess we need you, Lord. Apart from your love, we find no deliverance. Apart from your love, Lord, we can do nothing. Apart from knowing your love and knowing your love, come to our heart. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, would you communicate to our heart, Lord. Speak your love to our heart. Tell us, Lord God, that we're yours. Minister that to our heart, that we're your vessels, that you long to fill, that you long to use, that you have a plan and a purpose for our life, Lord. I just ask you to break our heart with that love, that, Lord, we forever be yours to follow you. Lord, at that place, you bring release to the captive thing. And we ask you in Jesus' name, prepare hearts to bring release to every captive thing, everything we're holding on to that keeps us from that measure of your love that touches us. Lord, I'm so thankful for the heart here tonight. I'm so thankful for the spirit that's here tonight. Lord, it's just looking every person down from the smallest to great. Lord, someone's saying, Lord, I just need you to touch me. Oh, Lord, we bless you. And it's your love, Jesus, it's your sweet love. Jesus, it's your sweet love that's carrying me. Carrying me. Bless you, Lord. Lord, we just bless you. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, just come speak to our hearts. We bless you, Lord. We want to make room for you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, just if the song could be anything, would you prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive. Lord, we just confess we need you, and we bless you, Lord, for your grace. Glory to you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Open your Bibles, if you will. I want you to turn to Psalm 91 for something I want to share with you.
Really thankful and blessed that we could be with you. You know, my son, we lived out of state for quite a number of years, and we were working in a couple of churches in Maine and in Wyoming, and my son was just a little boy, and he didn't know any of his family when we moved back to Texas in 97. And we were down visiting my grandparents, his great-grandparents, and I was thankful that he got an opportunity to meet them and see them and spend a little time with them before they passed on and to be with the Lord. But we were at a function. He didn't know any of these people, you know. We were around family, and they were feeding him chocolate pie and all kinds of, you know, cakes and goodies. And he turned to his mother, and he said, "Why?" And he was just a little boy. He said, "I love these people. Who are they?" Yeah. Well, I've never forgotten that. And I thought, you know, every time I speak someplace too, you know, and particularly in a case like this, you know, I feel like I'm with family. I just want you to know that God's, I don't know you, but I just love in my heart for you. When I hear you sing, you know, when I hear you lift your voice to praise just to God, you know, I know there's one Holy Spirit that does all of that. Yes. He takes young, old, he takes all different places, and he puts us together with a heart to worship him. And, you know, that's really the foundation of this message. I felt like there were some specific things that Lord wanted me to tell you tonight. And the first of which I think, and I wanted to say it this way, I believe God sent me to tell you there, not that you don't know, but there is an anointing that breaks yokes.
Yes.
You know? There is an anointing. I think God would have you, me, hear that. Have me hear it. There is an anointing, Kyle, that can break off every yoke of oppression, every yoke of fear, every yoke of doubt and unbelief, everything that tends to plague you and me, no matter where we get, how old we get in the Lord. I don't know about you, but sometimes the older I get, the more prone to fear or fearful circumstances that I might get, or the more nervous I might become. And said, God's wanting to say to me, you know, Kyle, what you need is more of my presence, because I'm able. There is an anointing in my presence that breaks off every yoke. And it breaks off every doubt, every fear, every insecurity, everything where I think, God, who am I and how can I speak? God says, I want you to hear this tonight, that there is an anointing that breaks yoke. You know, I was looking in this scripture. I asked you to go. We'll turn in just a minute, but I want to read a couple others to you. Psalm 119, 114, and Psalm 32:7 virtually say the same thing, but they say to God, you are my hiding place. God, you are my hiding place. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Sounds like God has a hiding place, right, for His people. It sounds like God has a place where He wants you and me to be hidden, in a hidden place. Colossians 3:3-4 says, you died with Christ and you are hid with God in Christ, right? Hidden. God has a place for His people and He says you're hidden. I think that's the second thing God wanted me to say to you. There is an anointing that breaks yokes off every yoke, and that you are hidden. I don't know totally what all that means. I mean, you know, I'm laying some of these things before you, but I'm saying there's a wealth in His presence that in that hiding place you and I get in on. I'm just here to deliver that message, is that He has an anointing that breaks yokes and He has a hidden place for you. He declares you are hidden. I didn't say that. He did. You're hidden. He says in Christ, you and I are hidden. I ask you to go to Psalm 91. I want to look there with you. Psalm 91, verse 4. Virtually we see the same thing again, but it's about God's covering. He says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Well, God has that hidden place for us. We're hidden. You know, for years I feel like I've labored in obscurity because I believe that we're living in a time or in the not too distant future where the body of Christ is going to have to need to be hidden. Don't ask me what all of that means, but I have labored. I felt in obscurity thinking, God, there is a place that He's got His people hidden away, tucked away. I don't know. It's interesting. As I went by, I whizzed by. I've been here before, but I whizzed right by. You guys are hidden, I suppose. I think you're hidden. You're kind of tucked in here, hidden place, you know. I think that that's true of the body of Christ. God's more and more, I think, there are as a hidden place with Him. He's wanting us to find. Someone came. We had a meeting the other night. We had a pastor friend that we know. Someone's a mutual friend from Nigeria, and he came to share at our church. And we had a brother from that had come from a distant place. And I'm not criticizing the brother. Really understand what I mean. But he had some comments, and he disagreed with some things, I suppose, or he had some problems with some things. I can see myself really in some things, but it seemed as though he came up to me after the service and he was telling me a little bit. He couldn't find us, for one thing. We were hidden. You know, we have a little body that fellowship that meets out on a farm, and we're sort of tucked away, hidden. And you kind of got to know where we are. You never pass by. And he called me, and he was late for the meeting. We had dinner before. I really think it was maybe because he missed dinner. I think it was I'm sort of thinking that was the problem. He missed dinner, but he was a little bothered after the service. I could tell a bit, and then he'd sent some emails a bit, and that he'd had a problem with a few things. But you know, he said to me after the service, he says, "You need to get you a sign." You know, and I got a sign. The sign's got the street number on it, and it says the farm. It says Holly Creek Farm. But he says, "You need to get a sign." I'm thinking, well, I don't know what I got a sign. I mean, is that not sign not good enough? It's got the street number and everything. Oh, you want my name? You want marquee lights? You want my degrees on it? What do you want on the sign? I mean, you know, I like it kind of like it is. We're hidden. And, you know, he said, you know, I passed this place. He'd driven around for maybe more than an hour. He'd come from a long way, and I can understand his frustration. He'd driven around for more than an hour. He says, you know, I passed you two or three times, and I never saw a church. He said, I saw you back there and there in the field, but he said, I never saw a church. And I'm thinking, well, Yeah, I think you did. You know, as I think about that, I'm thinking maybe the problem, I want to say maybe it's a problem with your looker, brother. You might have had a problem with your looker. You know, you're looking in the wrong, maybe, way. You know, maybe it's the wrong spirit with which you're going about and you're looking about at things. And, you know, he said, you know, I thought the real problem was, is that he said he had passed several times and saw us back there. Now think about it. We're out in the middle of a field, out in the middle of a country, out in the middle of nowhere where you really don't find anything that looks like a church anyway. And I thought, you know, you saw us, but he was looking for a building and not a body. This was his problem. And I'm not criticizing. I'm saying for him, you could say that. Hey, the problem is you're looking for a building and not a body. And I think God says, I'm not looking for a building. I'm looking for a body. I'm not looking for a building. I'm looking for a body, somebody that I can indwell, that I can make something of your life. So that I can, but first I've got to break off some of those yokes, those oppressive things, because I want to use your life. You're hidden, God says. I want you to be hidden. It's important. You need to be hidden because it changes your... I need to be hidden because it changes my view of things. I was driving down the road the other day, and I felt like the Lord saying, it was almost like, you know, for what will I compare this generation, our times? And it was almost like the Lord was saying to me, it was almost like you are a people who say, God, we're offering you our great weapons, our weapons, our machine guns, and all of our great technology. And God says, you know what? You're a people who thinks you have technology or something, the great weapons, and really all I need is you to gather up a few stones, and really I need one stone is really all I need to slay the giants in your life. One stone, God says, is all I need to slay the giants in your life. When will we stop thinking that it's all what we've got that's shining, and we come away to a hidden place with Him to find there is a place that's hidden in His presence that He gives to His beloved. He gives to those He pours back into us. Lord, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God has a place that He wants to gather you and me up. A place where it's hidden. I want you to see this here in 94. That those who are hidden in Christ, the hidden place protects. There's some things why we need the hidden place. The hidden place is really key to breaking off the yokes in your life. Did you hear that? The hidden place is key to breaking off the yokes in your life. The hidden place can do for you what no man can. The hidden place of finding your life tucked away and hidden with Him and recognizing His love. There's a brother of mine. We have a little farm, and we have some people living out there, and kind of a year-round thing, just off and on. But I walk in the barn. There's a guy been helping me. We've been building a barn building for the church to meet in, and we had a brother that had donated a bunch of wood. We went and cut it off. We did it the hard way, and you don't ever want to do it that way if you can help it. But we cut it off of his property, and we went and got a sawmill, and we cut it all up. It was just an interesting process. We thought it was so interesting and fascinating to watch for about the first 30 minutes, and then it started looking like work, and it's been work ever since. And we milled all this wood, and so we've been planing the wood down, and we're putting it in, you know, trimming the wood out, and it's really turned out to be beautiful, but it's real labor intensive. And the brother that's out there helping me has been through a lot of things, but it just touched my heart. He has been through a whole lot of things some of the things I don't know if I could relate to, but I was touched. I went walking the other day, and he had his headphones on. And he's an older fella. He's probably 10 years older than me. He had his headphones on. He was listening to a song. He turned around, and just tears are just rolling down his cheek. And I said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, and I said something to him, and he didn't hear me. And he pulled his earphones out, and he said, oh, the song was really ministering to my heart. God was just revealing to me how much He loved me. And I thought, would to God that we all get there, right? God, He's pouring out and saying, God, how much He loves me to where it breaks my heart. Can I tell you something? Some things break off when I can get to that moment. God's not looking for tears, but He's looking for that heart to where He's opening up our ears, and He's getting into our heart, and He pours out His love on us. God, bring us to that place. Bring us to a place, because a hidden place brings us to your protection. Isn't that what the Word says in verse 94? I want to continue to read there. 91, verse 4. Let me back up a minute and read in verse 1. Read this with me. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Sounds like a lot of power there, doesn't it? Sounds like enough for whatever it is you got, it's not too big for God. Is that right? You know, whatever it is, it's not too big for God. What a wonderful message. I heard a preacher say that one time. He'd been through, I mean, you could name it whatever you got, and what you have would look small in comparison to what he'd been through. But here he was, God had made him a preacher, declaring to the world, I don't know where you come from or what it is, but he's able to change your life. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. Sounds like liberty. And from the deadly pestilence. Sounds like you're hidden, huh? So we sort of wonder. I don't know, some of you, if you wonder if things that the state of affairs in our country and things as they are, we wonder, you know, what's coming? You know, what kinds of things could be there? But the Word says that He will deliver you from the deadly pestilence and from the things that come. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and bulwark. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You better get some of that on you, is what the Word's saying. You better get some of that faithfulness on you and shield and bulwark. God's calling you and me to a place hidden with Him, because it'll be our shield. It'll be our covering. God says, come away with me and be hidden. Hear that word tonight. God says, come and commit yourself to the hidden place, because it'll make you great. It'll make you strong in the strength of His might. A hidden place. It's much like we found ourselves tonight. Maybe rather flat-footed as we started, and yet God's presence arrived. When His presence comes, you know, we should tarry. I used to hear, that's kind of, you don't hear people preaching, I guess, as much about that, but, you know, you'd hear David Wilkerson sometimes used to talk about tarrying in God's presence. Yeah. And we need to tarry. We need to learn to tarry in His presence, because if we do that, the Spirit of God comes. If we'll make that our practice, we'll get some faithfulness on us and in our life. To those He imparts that work of faithfulness. It's a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look at your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. God says, I want you to come away from me with me to a hidden place. Let it be your dwelling place, because it'll protect your life. No enemy can work with you there. And, you know, think about it just a minute. Why does God call us to a hidden place? That's not to say that you and I hadn't experienced some work of the enemy from time to time. But God says that only reveals one thing. You and I aren't spending enough time in a hidden place. It reveals our lack. To the degree the enemy's been having a day, is to that measure, God would say, son, daughter, you need to come back to my hiding place, because where you're tucked away with me, no evil can befall you. Nothing can come near you at that place. God says you're hidden. In God, in Christ, you are hidden. You and I need to hear that word. You know, we live in a day sometimes where we're out in the open. We're a little bit too big of a target. I think that God's wanting to expose that sometimes in our life, to say, you know, we're perhaps a little overexposed. God says, I want you to be hidden with me, because there you can live under my authority. When you live under my authority, there's a lot of great things can happen in your life. A lot of the flow of God can come to your life. God just says, I want you to practice my presence. Will you hear that tonight? And find yourself hidden. You'll be protected. Second thing here is I want you to get is that when you're hidden in Christ, you could just say the hidden place crucifies. The hidden place crucifies the flesh. The hidden place mortifies the flesh. Read this one scripture with me, if you will. It's in Colossians 3, 3 and 4. Turn there, if you will. Colossians 3, 3 and 4. Colossians 3. Set your minds on the things above and not on the things of the earth. You know, on the farm, we've been praying daily and just meeting, you know, in the mornings and just for prayer and time in the Word. But we've lately been trying to concentrate more on just intercessory prayer. And we met for a number of months and we were doing Bible study. And, you know, I felt like what we needed to do is just seek His presence. And so we've been doing that, just to intercede. And we've been so blessed. God's presence has been there. It's been like God has been given an utterance when I didn't know what to say. God's been given liberty to speak when I didn't know what to. You know, His presence can loose your tongue. His presence can loose your life and cause your life to be free from the. You and I sometimes can be our own worst enemy. set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In the hidden place, you died. Is that right? To get to the hidden place, you and I have to come to the cross. Is that right? You don't get to the hidden place without a cross. It's very important that you and I see that. With no cross, with doing as we please, with not setting our mind on the heavenly kinds of things where we should have ourselves, to that degree we're missing the cross. We're missing carrying our cross as His disciple. And if we miss that, then we miss the hidden place altogether. And we're not afforded the protection. God says, I want you to find that hidden place. It's a place that crucifies your flesh. It crucifies. It's important to get your life. You remember the place where Jesus is noticing the people at a wedding, and they're, I think it's found in Luke 14. He was noticing people trying to get the seats of honor at this wedding. Just paraphrasing me. And then he begins to tell a parable about calling people to the feast. And in one instance, he says, actually before he gets there, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Turn there. Luke 13:34. I may be getting ahead of myself. Luke 13:34. I want you to see this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Sounds like he wanted to bring them to a hidden place. Is that right? To his people, to the people that Jesus sent, he grieved over because he longed to bring them into a hidden place. They would not go to the cross with him. Think about that. He's not long from the cross here. He's not far from the cross. But Jesus speaks these words, Jerusalem, the city where he goes and he's crucified. At that place, the word says, Jesus says, I would to draw you together like a mother hen with her chicks under her wing, but you wouldn't have it. In other words, you wouldn't be hidden. You wouldn't carry the cross. You wouldn't come to the cross with me, is what I think. I'm perhaps taking a little liberty, but I believe that's there. I believe you'd be right to say that. Jesus, I believe, would say, I wanted to gather you. I wanted to cover you, but you would not come to the cross. You know, it's important for you and me to recognize that He's called us to a hidden place, but I got to come by way of the cross. God's saying, you got to come and you've got to come and set your mind on things of heaven. We were praying the other day at the farm, and I felt like the Lord was just ministering that to my heart. We began just speaking that out in prayer. And praying, God, help us, deliver us from being just so earthly minded. Help us to be heavenly minded. You know that old saying that you can be so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. That's a lie. That's a complete, absolute, complete lie. When you and I come to the hidden place, and only when you and I come to the hidden place, to have a heavenly mindset and have God's mind, do I ever get in on what it is He wants for me to do. I mean, it's all about self and life's good and it's a happy day and how's the weather? That's all I got to talk about. Nothing that can change a life, nothing that can draw me out, nothing that can go deep with Him. But the hidden place takes me deep and it urges others. Have you ever talked with someone? You talk with some who could talk deep things about God. And then sometimes it's just, hey, how's the weather? Sometimes I've been grieved. That's as far as you can get. How's the weather? Sometimes, to be honest with you, that's been me. You know what I mean? Talk to somebody, you run across somebody and say, hey, how's the weather? And what I ought to be doing is telling you about a Savior and His love and communicating that love through my life. And often have I missed that. God says, I want you to find the hidden place because it protects and it crucifies. It'll mortify your flesh. It'll mortify your flesh. Someone told me a story that I don't know why he told me this. Maybe it's because I want to share with you. It's kind of a funny little story, but I think it makes a point. He just told it to me on the way up here. He said, my dad used to have a friend, and he said the way the story was a little kind of a funny story. He said that the way it went, there were some folks on a plane, and they were on an airplane. The captain came over the airplane. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and I have some bad news. And he said the bad news is that we just lost engine number one, but we have four engines. No problem. We're smooth sailing. We're on our way, and we're making good time. That's the good news. We're making good time. Went back, and a few moments went by, and he comes back on. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. He says, and I have some good news and some bad news. And the bad news first is we've lost engine number two. No problem. We have two more engines, and we're Good news, we're still making good time. We're on our way. A little bit of time went by, and the way this story, if I get it right, goes is captain comes back on and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain." He's got a little bit of a distraught tone, a little bit bewildered in his voice, and he says, "I've got some good news and bad news, and the bad news is I'm lost. We're lost. But I'm a little low of fuel. But the good news is we're making good time." And I thought, we're making good time. I thought, well, that kind of relates to us sometimes in the body of Christ and in church as we know it. You know, I hear pastors everywhere I go, when I go, I hear pastors seems like more and more talking about we've got to change the way we're doing church. We've got to change the way we're doing church. And I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, you and I could probably wholeheartedly agree. We need to change the way we're doing some things. Sometimes, you know, it seems like we're living in a time where, you know, we're making good time. You know, the world's going to hell and the church is we're making good time. We're making good of it. I mean, the world is going to hell. I mean, the abortion is like never before. Drugs and sex and the Internet's destroying folks right and left. People are going to hell as fast as you can blink your eyes. But we're doing pretty good. And the church is, you know, we're like this big cruise ship just going. Of course, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, we've more books. We've got TV shows. And boy, it seems like, wow, sure. Things look pretty glamorous, you know. And I sort of wonder. I think, you know, I wonder what good, seriously, or how much are we really accomplishing sometimes? I wonder what God must think. And you know, the point is that we're sometimes a little lost in our approach. We're a little bewildered. We're really not too sure, really, of really where we're heading. We know it's heaven, but we're a little lost. But we're making a good time of it. You know, I think God wants more for His people, don't you? I think He wants more from my life than just a good time of it. I believe if I don't fulfill the calling that He's placed on my life, then I've completely made a left turn and completely could have went someplace else. And you know what I mean? But God says, I want you to fulfill a purpose and serve me. God says, I want you to find a hidden place, because there you will find the cross. You will have crucified and mortified your flesh. And I'll give you a bearing. You won't come up lost. You won't come up wondering and bewildered about what it's all about, just sort of making a good time of it for yourself. It's all good coming out for you. And yet you and I have missed the most valuable resource. You know, when you stop and think about it, we gather up all the things and we gather up all of things. The only resources that are going to heaven. Think about it just a minute. Not one thing you and I amass or could gather is going to make the trip. Only souls. And that's the thing, to be quite honest with you, all of us, we're a little short on. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm a little short on, I think, sometimes fulfilling what God wants for me to do there. I have had some things in my heart for a number of years, I guess, actually, of some things that God's saying, I want you to kind of move forward. We've been so busy building this kind of thing. And you know, here, back to the, God said, I'm not interested in buildings. I'm interested in bodies. I'm not interested in dwelling buildings. I'm interested in dwelling bodies. Someone said, well, you're building this church, and boy, if you're building this place for God's house, and praise God, we want His presence. We're asking for His presence. But I got news for you. If we don't show up with His presence, carrying it from having been from a hidden place, what's the point? God says, I want you to come and find me in a hidden place, because the church was never intended to be recognized as a building, but by the Spirit of the living God. You know, when you and I begin to carry that Spirit with us, more and more. We have that work, but folks need to see that. We need to see that. I want you to see this, that in His presence, that hidden place anoints. There is an anointing in the hidden place. Now, I wouldn't suspect that any one of these points would be something you hadn't heard before. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. It might be something, though, that if you're like me, you've been a little short to get in on. You think? God says, I want you in my presence. I want you to come find me in my presence. You know, to the degree that you and I find the hidden place when we come together like this, I mean, this is just like living on the overflow. The more we find ourselves in His presence. God says, I want you in my presence, because in my presence is a hidden place with me that brings an anointing in your life that will make you an accomplished influence in this world. It will make you an accomplished influence. More important, it's the Spirit of God that makes influence in your life, that causes your life to receive the mantle of His ambassadorship. Do you realize that? that you are an ambassador for Christ. I don't care who you are, what you think of, what you think of your abilities or inabilities, or that has nothing to do with that. Before I stood up, I could tell you I'd be the most incapable and unable person in this room. I mean, I'm serious. I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, no, I'm fixing to stand up there. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, wow, what have I got? You know, God says, I got something for you, but it's in my presence, and He can use any one of us. He longs. You know, you and I have to really believe that one man, one life, one woman, one life yielded to Him, coming from a hidden place, has the power to change the world you live in. I mean, really, seriously, that's not just hype. I mean, think about it in the natural just a minute. You ever heard of Bill Gates? You ever heard of the guy with the Apple? I mean, you know what I'm saying? These two guys, one guy, he's become a house. He's literally changed the way the entire world does business. It changed the world. Now that's in the natural. How much more so Jesus? Jesus, when you stop and think about it, he changed the whole world because of His life and His death, and is still changing lives long before men are gone. We don't talk about Him anymore. We're still talking about Jesus and the effect that He's had on this world and upon life and upon your life and my life. How much more could He use your life and wants to use your life? But He says, I want you to come away with me and find me in a hidden place, because I can do some remarkable things in your life. I can make some changes in your life. You know, my son just is his first year away at school. And there's been some, I know it's been some lonesome times. I've experienced some of those things being away from home. He's been greatly loved, and he's away at a huge school. And it's but I see him getting involved in some things, and I want to encourage him. He's trying to get involved in some groups, and he's reaching out, and he's getting involved with the body of Christ in different places. He's trying to find some Christian friends. He's looking for some, and I keep wanting to, and I've been telling him all along, you know, he's been listening to different messages of different pastors, and I can tell they've had an impact on his life. I've been encouraging him, son, find in your loneliness, in your struggle. You could say in the yoke of oppressive thing, where sometimes you find yourself discouraged, downcast, disheartened, whatever, fearful, God would say to you and me, come to the hidden place, because I'm able to cause you to find, I said to him recently, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Someone who'll stick closer to your life than you thought possible. Someone who's able to deliver your life from the snare of the trapper. Someone who's able to deliver your life and make grace and faith abound in your life and accomplish your life by an anointing. God's wanting to get the you in you out. And He only can from the hidden place. He wants you to come to the hidden place. He's saying, I think He would say this to you, exercise your influence. You have great influence. I'm serious. There was a girl that I knew a number of years ago in a youth group. And I shared this recently at church. That she was in a church in Maine, and she shared this through one of my daughters. The impact that I'd had, or something. It was just something that she had been encouraged about my life, and I didn't even, I remember the girl, but I was the youth. You have to understand, I was the associate pastor, youth pastor, church administrator. I did all of these kinds of things. I was kind of given all these kind of jobs, just whatever needed to be done, I had to do, you know. And so for a while, I was given a few months to be the youth. That was my experience. And to be quite honest with you, I was not a very good youth pastor, leader. And yet, her all she remembered is that it made an impact on her life, and she'd wanted to see us, and she had communicated some things that, to be honest with you, I just was shocked. And you know, if you could hear, you know, of your life, of the testimony that could be said of your life, you'd be amazed. People are watching you. Family members, namely, because they're the ones to say if this is real, I want to see it on sister or brother. I mean, if it's the real deal, I'll see it there. I don't know about you. That's the hardest place for me to really live out the change. You know what I'm saying? It's among family, because I can kind of say what I want to say. And, you know, Jesus, help us to change our life and our ways. In a close to close, you know, we've been at the farm walking with some folks and kind of trying to do some discipling and discipleship and walking together. And I said, you know, this is a real interesting and a wonderful opportunity, because sometimes in church experiences, we come to church once a week and that's it. And boy, isn't brother and sister so-and-so so wonderful? You know what I'm saying? But when you walk together every day, now you start seeing attitudes and things. Guess what? There's a whole lot of things about you and me needs to be fixed. Jesus says, I want you to come to the hidden place, because in the hidden place, I can fix your life. I can confer on you the mantle of ambassadorship, of your ambassadorship, because I have an anointing. I have an anointing for David. Didn't depart from him all the days. I have an anointing for you, God says. It's in my presence, hidden with me, and it'll put your life under a compelling influence. Back to that story where Jesus was noticing those. You remember where he noticed those who were looking for the places of honor at the wedding? And then he began to tell about his kingdom is like and those his wedding feast. And how he invited some. They had all these different reasons they couldn't come. And finally he says, you go out to the highways and byways and you compel them to come in. You know, I think the body of Christ ought to be like that. In that he's saying there is and was with that of examples of his kingdom. And his body was a place where there was a compelling influence. There was a compelling influence working through the lives of his servants, compelling men to come. I don't know. You need a compelling influence. I don't know about you, but I'm not the most excitable person in the world. I tend to be very reserved. Sometimes it would be easier for me not to speak, not to lead, and just to kind of sit back. That's easy for me to do. Very easy. But God says, I want you, Kyle, to have a compelling influence. Otherwise, you're useless to me. If you don't let the Spirit of God come and work in your life and through your life, you're rather useless to me. God says, I made you a body that I want to dwell, and I do it in the hidden place. God says, I want you in that hidden place. Tonight, God says, just to close, He says, there's an anointing that can break off every yoke. There's an anointing He wants to break off every yoke in your life. God, I think He wants this for your life. I think He wants you to make a commitment, reaffirm your commitment to prayer. You know, I believe He wants, now, and I'm talking about individually, a number of years ago, back in college years and years ago, that there was a man that had come. And he'd been through some things, and he was compelling folks to prayer. He was drawing folks to make a commitment to prayer, and it's something I really didn't want to do, to be honest. I was afraid of making the commitment. And you know, but through that commitment, and I've not always been faithful to honor that commitment, but God keep drawing me back to that place. But at that place of commitment, when I've found myself committed to His presence, to finding a secret place with Him, you know, I found a strength like no other, a friend like no other, a place where the Word declares when I'm hidden with Him, I'm free. Now, if we're looking for some liberty, that ought to be a telling thing in your life to say, you want some liberty? You want greater liberty? God says, greater presence with me. Let my presence take care of some things. If you can get yourself to my presence, if you can sense the presence of my Holy, and you can draw yourself in, stir yourself up, come to that place. You know, you're not going to be perfected, but I guess what I'm driving at is God's asking for a commitment tonight. I want you to commit yourself. I'm going to ask you tonight for a commitment. You know, I want you to commit yourself to pray, to prayer. And you know, I felt like these three things God wanted me to put before you, that there is the anointing that breaks yoke. Do you need that anointing that breaks yoke? I think we do. I need an anointing that can break off yoke. I need an anointing in my life or else what good am I? I need an anointing or I have nothing to say. I needed an anointing in my life and I need to look and seek for it new and fresh every day. God help me to seek that for that anointing with you. There is an anointing in His presence that breaks yoke. You're hidden, God says. But there are some things that you're just perhaps a little overexposed. I think sometimes even in the church, that was the point I made, sometimes in the church, you know, we're making good time. We're writing books. We're making good time of it. But the Lord says, you know, it's not really so much about the TV show just for the TV show. You know, it's we're making good time of it, but are we a little overexposed? And God says, I want you hidden. I want you hidden with me. Because when you're hidden, I'll make you like that city set on a hill. It may be a persecuted thing. To be honest with you, I think there's greater persecution is going to be there for His body when you and I really find ourselves in the hidden place. It's a greater cost. Guess what? There's a cross there. Cross comes from the hidden place. He's right there in the hidden place. The Lord says, I want you to take up your cross tonight. And I want to ask you if you'll stand with me. I think tomorrow it would be opportunity for prayer. And certainly if someone needs prayer tonight, you know, I'm sure that's available. But you know, I want you tonight, just as you stand, I want you to make a decision tonight. Will you commit yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be committed to pray more. I don't know about you, but that's what I need. That's the greatest thing I need. I don't need another man. I don't need another person. I need more of His person, of His presence is what I need. Praise God for men and women who He uses. He uses men and women by which He sets free. But I want you to understand what I need is His presence. And He's asking for a commitment. Will you commit yourself to draw near, to say, Lord, I want to be hid with You. I am hid with You. Lord, help me to wake up and realize that, and help me to come away with You and tarry in Your presence till Your Spirit touches my life. Till Your Spirit anoints and brings that anointing that breaks off yokes. Pray with me. Lord, we want to receive that anointing that breaks off every yoke. Lord, I have some things I need You to break off my life. I have some things, some yokes, some things that are they're hindering my walk. But Lord, I just ask You, we want to commit ourselves, reaffirm our commitment to the hidden place. Well, we want to be hidden with You. We ask You, Lord, help, draw us, Lord, draw our hearts just to You. Lord, we want to commit ourselves to prayer and to be more devoted to the hidden place, to spend time drawing into the hidden place. And Lord, I ask You at that place, Lord, would you bring a greater witness of Your presence? And there I ask You, Lord, break off every yoke. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, we break off every yoke of fear, every work of doubt, every work of unbelief, every work that says, that's too big a commitment for me. Every work of doubt has said, I've tried that before. Every work of doubt, Lord, we confess one thing we need is Your presence and Your presence alone. One thing we cannot go forward without is that the presence of the living God. It's the Holy Spirit that You've imparted to each of us, Lord, to come and direct our life, to stir us up, Lord, to motivate our life, to live for You, to find our purpose and our cause aligned with You. Lord, we ask You in Jesus' name, stir us, stimulate us by Your Holy Spirit. We ask You for more of Your Holy Spirit. We bless You and we thank You, Lord, that in Your presence is fullness. In Your presence, Lord, is the Spirit of God to bring fullness. I pray You bring that fullness in our life. I pray You break off the yoke. I pray that this, the beginning of this weekend, that Lord, as we begin this, I pray that Lord, You lay a foundation, that there is an anointing that breaks off every yoke. Well, Jesus, we need that anointing. Would we make the decision to come every morning, every meeting, new and fresh, to say, Lord, I want the anointing that breaks off every yoke. Lord, I want an anointing in my life. I want You to, like healing balm, anoint my life. Lord, we want to give ourselves to that. We want to devote ourselves to that. I thank You for Your people. I thank You for Your body. I just give praise and thanks to You for them. I ask You, Lord, You'd impart the work of Your Holy Spirit even in a greater way to every person here. We thank You, Lord. Make us receivers tonight. We just choose to receive, Lord. Prepare our heart. Prepare our heart tonight, tomorrow, this weekend. Prepare us now. I think this is a word to say, I want to prepare you. I want to break off the yoke. I prepare you to receive. Will you receive from me? Lord, we thank You for that. Yes. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to Your name, Lord. Just give Him praise. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.